Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Giselle. Michelle, you chose to punish again. Why?
Hello, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. Usually these Monday episodes include a pop culture segment, but y'all, I was looking at my notes for today and it was giving 3-day-old sourdough. Like, it was dry, okay? Dry. I can't bore you like that. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I had on my list Kate Middleton and Queer Eye. And Janelle from Teen Mom. And what I could do that, I could wrap that up in about 45 seconds, okay? Janelle announced that she was going to, or that she is separated from that ogre that she's been married to for the past however long years. The only reason why I'm even acknowledging it is because this separation, seemingly, as I speak right now on March 10th, 2024, it's still seems to have stuck. I think we're in about over 72 hours. So I can confidently say that at this point, Janelle has stuck to some sort of separation with David for at least 3 days. Now, is it going to last 4? It's anybody's guess. However, it's worth saying, and you know, it's not a celebration, but it's an acknowledgement that this has happened. Now, North Carolina law, that's where she lives, dictates that you be legally separated from your partner for an entire year before you can even qualify for a divorce. So, you know, that's a toughy toenail for them. But shout out to you, girl. I'm going to give you a tenth of a clap, which is really just like kind of what it looks like when your fingers cramp up. You know, that's all I can give you, girl. I'll catch you back in 2025, and maybe I'll give you half a clap at that point. Okay, moving on. Kate Middleton is, what's going on? What's going on with the girls? Every diva down to the Buckingham Palace is down. Charles, cancer. Kate, maybe has a BBL. Y'all bullied. First of all, I've had people in my mentions 4 days screaming at me for joking that Kate Middleton got a BBL. You guys, I know goddamn well that out of any person on this earth, Princess Catherine of Wales, as I've been screamed at to refer to her as, even though I'm American, I know she's not going to get a BBL. That's why it's funny. That's why it's funny. So the people were joking about her getting a BBL, right? Even though she had abdominal surgery, her, that's what the pal said. So now, then she had to like go and be seen out in the car. You see how dry this shit is? She had to go make an appearance out in the car. We didn't see her ass though. So, you know, maybe the BBL rumors remain to be seen. No confirmation yet. So now it's been like UK Mother's Day. A picture came out of Catherine and the children. Charlotte, Louis, Blanket. What's the other one saying? George. George. And people are like, what's going on with this picture? It looks very manipulated. And so the AP, the Associated Press, and several Reuters, I think, very elite outlets, media outlets, have issued an official like kill notice or something on this particular picture, because they're like, shit's cap, basically. It's photoshopped. Charlotte's cuff is blurred out. We can see that. Blanket has four fingers. Like, what the hell's going on here? We're not going to do anything. As of now, the royal family's not speaking about it. And it's just like, it's not great. What is Camilla doing? They said Camilla had to take a week off for reasons unknown. I guess it's just too much for her. She's been working for 2.5 months. And so she's had to take a week off. What the hell's going on, you guys? What is going on? I'm feeling like the royal family. Y'all might just want to call it, you know? Like, how much, honestly, like, I am an ugly American, a dumb American. But, like, really, like, if you just wanted to wrap this up. Wrap this whole royal family thing up. Like, how much of a disruption would it be, really? Like, just give them a house, you know? And let them figure it out. Give them a little pension. And then at some point, like, Blanket might have to get a job, okay? And that's fine. He can get a job. Why can't they get jobs? Okay, now I'm getting upset. What was the third story? Queer Eye. Okay, so they're saying that Jonathan Van Ness, JVN, is that what we're supposed to call them now? I'm not sure. I honestly don't know. Jonathan Van Ness apparently is a monster, okay? Emotionally abusing people on the cast and crew. Tan probably was trying to get Jeremiah. Remember Jeremiah from, he was on Flipping Out a long time ago, and now he's married to Nate Berkus. Now they've got a whole thing. They're like the, I don't even know what those other two are called. Magnolia. Who are the people who like do Shiplap and Magnolia? That couple. There, Jeremiah and Nate are like that version of them. You know what I mean? I should make references that I can actually refer to. You know, because what is her name? Chip and Joanna. Yeah, they're like Chip and Joanna. Okay. So do you guys find it surprising that I don't watch HGTV? Like, it's a true blind spot for me. Like, I don't care. I don't care. So where was I going with this? Oh, okay. So apparently what's going on is that JVN is a monster. Bobby Burke is now being replaced by Jeremiah. Apparently Tan like really was trying to get out Bobby because he's friends with Jeremiah, and that was like a whole thing for Bobby. Bobby's now gone, right? And apparently like JVN's just a dick. There have been people from like who've been on the show, like actual straight guys who've been on the show, they've been like, oh, JVN's great. But I kind of feel like that's what people were saying in the early days of like when people really started talking about Ellen, where these stars like Justin Timberlake would be like, or Justin Bieber, whichever Justin, would be like, she was so great to me. She's so lovely to me. And it's like, yeah, you're the fucking talent. What about the woman that she terrorized who was like a waitress for her one day and saw Ellen saw her chipped nail polish, called the restaurant like days after the fact and tried to get that woman fired because she didn't like that her nail polish was chipped. It bothered her that much. You know what I mean? So, like, not to throw JVN, you know, but I just feel like there are just people who tend to, more often than not, who are often, like, publicly facing super positive, emotional, sensitive personas tend to be monsters in the background. I'm not saying one way or the other, but it's in Rolling Stone, babe, so that's for you to answer to. That seems pretty legit to me. Anyway, that's really, honestly, all I have to talk about, you guys. That's all I have to talk about. I guess I should just, like, pivot really quickly to something serious. as you guys know, Garrison, son of Janelle, and Cody from Sister Wives, died by suicide last week. I am guessing, because I talk about Sister Wives, it's one of my most popular shows that I talk about, that some of you guys might be wondering if I'm going to say anything about it, and just letting you guys know, you don't have to listen to it, I'm just letting you know. On the Seeking Sister Wife premiere episode that I did last week, I did speak about it in the last 5 minutes, so don't think that I have, you know, neglected to speak about that, because very much upset and, like, very sad about that. So there we go on that. And with that, honestly, hopefully something will happen in the next few days that is, like, fun and messy that I can talk about on Monday. But with that, we had a 2 hour more blessing of the traitors with the finale and the reunion. So with that, I'm going to be talking about that for the rest of the episode. So love you guys, and I'll be back later this week with Seeking Sister Wife, Vanderpump Rules, Summer House, maybe other things. Who knows what Kyle is going to say at the end of the Beverly Hills finale? Maybe I'll have to talk about that. All right, let's get on with guys. The show.
Oh, I'm so sad that the traitors is over. Last week we got not only the finale, but the reunion, the uncensored reunion, which, I don't know, we could have let the chopper spray, language-wise, a little bit more for me. We could have been a little bit more sassy, but we let some shits out, and I was appreciative of that. Let's get into the finale, because, gosh, it was so good. Like, y'all ate that. Y'all really, really ate that. So, last we left, no more Phaedra, right? Rip Phaedra. Kate, our lone traitor. So now she's in the turret with Alan, all alone, doing the final murder of the competition. So we already figured, MJ's got the shield, we can't kill her. Trishelle, a good idea, but might be a bad idea. So she figures if she has any chance of winning, Sheree has got to be the one to go. When Sheree gets her murder, suddenly Miss Whitfield has woken up and said, I realized that Kate was a traitor, because during that round table, when Phaedra was getting kicked out, Kate was making all these pouty faces, couldn't even make eye contact with Phaedra. I knew it. So thank you, Sheree, for figuring out the game at the very last moment when you were killed. MJ says in a confessional, they murdered Sheree. That's got to be a clue. This is really giving Sandra is a traitor energy, and I think we need to banish her. Now, this is where she lost me, because I'm like, why? Why did we get Sandra out of this, MJ? It's not making sense to me. At first, Sandra's able to talk to CT, and they're both on the same page that they think Kate is a traitor. She was acting weird at the round table, coming in pretty hot towards Phaedra, so something's not right here. But then they meet up with Trishelle, and she tells them, well, I spoke to the other ones. They want to kick Sandra out, but honestly, I was kind of thinking Kate might be a traitor too. So they're like, okay, there's only 5 of us. We only need 3 to kick somebody out. They're all bumping knuckles in solidarity with each other and in some sort of alliance. So now they're like, okay, we're going to vote Kate out. And then once we do that, we're just at the home stretch. CT and Trishelle, we made a pact to get to the end together, and that's what we're going to do. And I feel like watching this twice, I'm like, oh, okay, the crumbs were there all along, and I should not have been surprised at the finale. So that's crumb number one. We made a pact to stay together until the end. So we have our mission, right? The biggest mission of the season. Starting with a helicopter, landing at the castle. So they're going over to this, like, fucking rocky crag or cliff. What's the difference between a cliff and a crag? It seems like a craggy cliff. I don't know. It's a $30,000 challenge, but there's like other $20,000 worth of little prize pots that they can get if they want to. But y'all got it. Like, it truly, come hell or high water, y'all can get this money. How are these people passing these health tests? I don't understand. I would have died. I've never been attracted to CT more, just being like, you know what? I don't think any of these women are actually going to help me. So I I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to do everything silently and with those thighs out. And you know what? We salute you. We salute you for that. And I was like, that's a real man. That's a real man right there. I've never been attracted to a man more. I would have needed one of Tom Sandoval's cans of oxygen about 15 minutes into this. I probably would have cried. A little bit of wet in my underwear. And I would have been like huffing and puffing. How did they do this? That's really wild to me. Really, really wild. So in the middle of the mission, Sandra and Trishelle are like sequestered to each other. Like it's just those two. So they're talking. And they're like, okay, we're still on the same page, right? We're going to get Kate out. And she tells Sandra, do you really think that MJ and Kate, the Bravo girls, are going to include you in the end? No, they're not. So, like, interesting question, Trishelle. That was breadcrumb two for me. You think they're going to help you at the end? No, they're not. So after they do all this dam running, they have like 15 minutes left. And then they find out that you got to abseil down a cliff. I barely know what abseiling is.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. As we all know, when it comes to everyone's business, I like to mention it all, but when it comes to mine, I like to keep things a little bit closer to the chest. But that method doesn't always work when it comes to your mental health, and we all need a way to purge and get it out. Therapy is a safe space to do that and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down by learning positive coping skills and all the tools you need to help you be the best version of yourself. BetterHelp is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So you can just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/everyone's business today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/everyone's business.
Down the cliff to get to the lower cliff. And then there was some swimming that CT and Sandra did to get over to a $10,000 prize can. And then once they get back to that little crag cliff, then they have to take a dinghy over to this like old ass ship and lift a sail. So I think they ended up getting like all $50,000. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to y'all. Well, shout out to CT really. On the car ride back, this is where the chaos really sets in, because Kate gets CT alone in the back of the car, and she uses that to her advantage. Not in the same way I would have, but you know what? It's another story for another day. So first, Kate starts talking about how sweet Sandra is. I think she's so sweet, but you know, like, I don't know. She is a gamer, you know? Maybe there's something tricky happening. And so CT was like, well, you also just said you were a gamer, so are you a traitor? You a traitor? You a traitor, Kate? And Kate is just like, how dare you ask me a question like that? I am offended, and I don't appreciate the question. And that's basically how she's able to whirl CT in some sort of confusion. I don't know how she was able to accomplish this based on her just being like,
excuse me? That's it. And now CT's like, I'm a little confused here. I don't know how she was that convincing. CT obviously feels otherwise, but okay. So they all get like a post-mission soup, you know, a little soup of the day to wind down. So they're eating their soup, right? And MJ is with Kate, and she's saying, I really think that Sandra is a traitor. And I think we need to get on the same page about that. Fatal flaw on MJ's part is by confiding in Kate. So meanwhile, Sandra is over with Trishelle and CT, who she thinks her buddies are, saying, like, I really feel like MJ is a faithful, even though MJ's throwing her under the bus to Kate, right? But she tells them, MJ is definitely faithful, but the issue is she needs to be separated from Kate. And then CT tells Sandra, funny you should mention that, because when I was in the car with Kate, she told me that you guys were going to vote for her. So then Kate comes in the room and Sandra tells her, I just want to pick your brain real quick. What do you think is going to happen at the round table? Because CT told me that you brought my name up. And then suddenly Kate gets amnesia, goes, no, I don't think you're a traitor at all. I'm not the one shopping your name around. It's CT. I think it's actually CT. And then Sandra makes a very foolish mistake of telling Kate, you know, there's actually a lot of doubt on you. Your name came up a lot because you came into the game so late. People are kind of suspicious. And now I think the best thing is for us to team up together to vote out CT. So she switches sides from Trishelle and CT to Kate. Kate knows this. She told Sandra, oh, they're going to vote for you. Girl, she really, really got them. Really got them. So now Kate is all giddy because she's like, I just convinced Sandra that CT needs to get voted out. So she runs over to CT to be like, oh, actually, I just talked to Sandra. She told me she votes you out. And CT's like, huh. Well, I don't know why Sandra would want to kick me out unless she herself is a traitor. That's very interesting. So then we get to the round table, and I just want to say, whoever does this, like, when they go to the round table, that song, she ate. I want her to win a Grammy and an Emmy for her work and for her efforts, okay? And shout out to whoever at Shein was sewing MJ's pleather cheetah print full-length trench coat. Y'all ate that, too. That was a look. That was a look. I loved it. So then we're at the round table, right? MJ accuses Sandra of being a traitor on the basis of her, like, buddying up to her for the last couple days. To which Sandra says, you know what? She tells her, like, you were buddying up to Phaedra and I was watching you and I thought that was very sketchy. So Sandra's like, you know what? I wouldn't change a thing. I did what I did. I said what I said, and I wouldn't change a thing. Because you know what? I figured one of the traitors had to be a housewife. I buddied up to Sheree and Phaedra, thinking they were both going to protect me. So actually, I would not change that strategy for a thing in the world. Because I think I had traitor angels all along. So then it really heats up, because CT says, Sandra, I really think that you're a traitor. And I think you were going to vote for me. I heard that you were going to vote for me, so now I kind of have to return the favor to you. But Sandra tells him, but I was only going to vote for you because Kate told me that you were going to vote for me. I panicked, and I thought, I need a plan B. She set me up. I know she did. And now Kate's just looking around like, huh? What? I didn't do this. I didn't do this. So now Sandra's really pissed. She's like, I came into this day trying to go along with the plan with you, CT, and Trishelle. And look at Kate, her outfit, it screams traitor, okay? And what's gonna happen is I'm gonna stand over there, y'all are gonna vote me out. I'm gonna stand over there like Peppermint, like Max, like everybody else, and you're gonna be like, damn, I fucked up. I wish I had been a traitor, but I didn't get that privilege. I give you my word that I'm a faithful. I don't know how else to tell you this. So Trishelle then says, you know, I thought I could trust CT because we had a plan to vote out Kate. He didn't tell her that he had switched sides to voting Sandra out. So now she's like, wait, what happened to our plan, CT? MJ votes for Sandra and tells her, if you're not a traitor, I'm going to be crushed. And Sandra goes, I'm not a traitor, and you're going to be crushed. And MJ's just like, oh, well. So everybody ends up voting out for Sandra, except for Sandra, of course, who votes for Kate. Trishelle says in a confessional, "The only reason why I ended up voting for Sandra is because I wanted to be part of the majority." I mean, if that's not some Handmaid's Tale ass shit, I mean, never mind, because I could get deep with that and I'm not going to. I panicked. I have no idea what's going on, but I'm just going to vote for the majority because, I mean, that is truly Trishelle. The Trishelle jumped out on that. So Sandra gets in that ring and she says, "My heart is really broken. I never once doubted any one of you, but I'm a faithful. Good luck, guys. Peace out." So then Alan tells MJ, CT, Kate, and Trishelle, "It's now up to you guys to finish the game," right? Kate is like super feeling herself out of that round table, saying to us, "How did I come out of that having less accusations than anybody else?" I kind of feel like she's really feeling her pussy, right? I feel like I could convince them now at this point that Alan's a traitor. I'm going to tell them Fergus is a traitor. So as everybody's doing these like dramatic walks to the final fire, as we call it, right? Alan interviews them. We get little like post or pregame interviews with all of them sitting down in these leather chairs, right? CT says that the only person he trusts at this point is Trishelle. MJ says, "I trust all of them. And I want to be at the end of the game and I want to share the pot with all of the faithfuls." Trishelle says, "I think Kate might be a traitor, so I'm really hoping to vote her out. And then it's just going to be me, MJ, and CT. And then breadcrumb number 3. And then I don't know what I'm going to do." So at the end, out of the $250,000 that could have gone into the total prize pot, Alan tells them that they have won a total of $208,000. $208,100. This always trips me up. $208,100. So everybody gets these like little bath bombs or something in a little bag. You get a little green, you get a box, and it's got these bath bombs in it, and they're green or red. So Alan, you give him the bath bomb, he throws it into the fire, and it'll go green, meaning you want to end the game now, or red, if you want to keep banishing people because you're unsure if there's still a traitor amongst us, right? Everybody glows red except for Kate, and they vote Kate out. 3-1, right? So Kate does this whole like fake sentimental speech about how, "I wanted to end this with my friends. I consider them all my friends, but I am a traitor." And then she says in a confessional that this is like an honor killing or something, like, "Oh, I can rest well. I can afford to lose this money. You know, I help them earn it, but I can afford to lose it because it's going to the right people." Okay. Why did you come here? I said this. I'm like very Kate Chastain neutral. I don't really watch Below Deck. I don't really get why y'all go up for her so much. And when she came into the game, I'm like, ugh, why? Why? Was she really that necessary once we get into it? I personally, the answer for me is going to be a no. I don't think she really added that much to the situation. I think we honestly didn't need her. They could have brought in like another traitor, not somebody else from like another season or whatever. They could have just added another traitor from who we already had to work with, and it would have been perfectly fine. I don't honestly don't think she added a damn thing, but okay, girl. Bye. So now it's down to MJ, CT, and Trishelle. MJ's like, "Oh, we did it. And did you guys notice CT looks over at Trishelle and winks at her? So now Alan's like, "Okay, we're going to go again. Take out those bath bombs, ladies." So then we go. MJ goes first. Green. "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take this prize pot." Trishelle, red. And MJ goes, And in this moment, MJ knew she fucked up. So Trishelle's reasoning for wanting to get do the banishment again is that, you know, there were 22 names up there, and I think there's plenty of room for there to have been 5 traitors. And there is somebody here that I do have a glimmer of hope, of doubt about. So then, CT, also a red bath bomb. And MJ's looking back at them like, oh my God, what the fuck is going on in the House of Commons right now? CT, his excuse for doing the red bath bomb is that there's really only one person here that I really trust to share this pot of gold with. So now MJ is like really looking back and forth at them like, she genuinely did not want to vote again. So CT votes for MJ, tells her it's nothing personal. I just wouldn't trust anybody in this castle unless it's Trishelle. MJ is like, I don't want to vote. Like, I don't believe anybody here should be banished. I think we're all faithfuls, but I guess Sophie's choice, I'm going to vote for Trishelle. That's it. That's the only reason why I'm going to vote for you. And then Trishelle turns her slate around and says, this is a hard one. And on her slate is CT. Ooh, so now it's a draw because there's been no majority vote, right? So they got to go again to break the deadlock. So Alan tells them, before we do this deadlock vote, y'all have to plead your case before voting again. So Trishelle says, I'm a faithful. I think both of you guys know that. There's nothing I can say. I know that I'm a faithful. And MJ says, listen, you guys don't know me as long as you've known each other, but I've been open. I've been transparent. I was here as a faithful the whole time. I wasn't chosen as a traitor. I wasn't recruited to be a traitor. That's it. CT's like, listen, I've been a good faithful. I'd like to finish what we started. And then he looks at Trishelle and goes, for real this time. Oh. So then Trishelle's like, well, we had a plan to vote out Kate. And then we got to the round table. All of a sudden, you're saying Sandra. It didn't align. I was confused. And so CT's like, but I tried to save you. I tried to protect you. I let you get that shield when we were in the tunnel. I've been following your gameplay ever since. I forgive you. I'm sorry if I made you doubt me and how I felt about you. Like, but I never doubted you, Trishelle. So then Trishelle says, well, you know, I thought you may have been a traitor when you tried to save John over me. And he says, but I could, there are moments where I could say the same thing about you. You're not acknowledging my feelings. And MJ's just like left out of this, them having this Iyanla fix my life therapy session with each other. And now she's like, y'all are about to box me the fuck out. Like, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this. So she throws out one last Hail Mary of like, listen, you guys don't need to doubt me. I am a faithful. So we have to do this vote again. CT votes for MJ again. She rolls her eyes like, fuck you guys, right? So Alan asks MJ, who do you want to vote out? She goes, nobody. We're all faithful. But I guess I'll vote for Trishelle. And then Trishelle does this dramatic eyes closed, wait for it moment. And then she votes for MJ. I don't want you to be banished, MJ, but it's just so hard for me to write his name down the first time. I couldn't do it twice. So then MJ has to reveal to them that she is a faithful. They both know that she is. They both fucking know it. And she mumbles as she, like, walks back up the stairs. I hope this, guys, makes you guys feel real great as she leaves. She is the fuck piss. Honestly, if this were me, I would have been, ooh, I would have been so mad. I would have been so pissed. Y'all would have seen me screaming. The expletives would have flown. I would have told him he was a bitch from Boston. And Trishelle, you're just a regular old bitch. I would have just, like, y'all, they would have had to have an uncensored version for this episode to hear what I had to say. I would have been so mad. So mad. And I'm not like, I don't like playing games in my regular life. But she's right. She was playing the game the right way. But here's the thing. It's called the Traitors. And damn, at the very last second, and she had to watch them in real time betray her. So annoyed. I've been so mad. She was thinking, I had like 60 grand like 30 seconds ago, and now I have nothing. Oh, I would have been pissed. Oh, I would have been so mad. So then she's like in the confessional, it shouldn't have ended this way. That was the plot twist of a lifetime. I hope they regret it because we all deserved it, but I guess they don't care. And then she says in French, it's not fair. What was so annoyed. They have this like pot of gold coins. Like, who was that rich duck from the 90s? You know, he was the Darkwing Duck. Who was it that was diving into the pot of gold? That's what he looked like. He was diving back first into that table of gold. I would have been like, oh, I would have been MJ in the castle. Like, I hope you break your back, bitch. Fracture yourself on those coins. So they find out they've won $104,050 each. And Alan asks them, oh, how do you feel about MJ? And CT's like, I just wasn't willing to take a chance on anybody else. And Trishelle goes, oh, I feel awful because I do love MJ. But, you know, we did say that we were going to take each other to the end. And they're just like so happy. that is so annoying and so good. So good. Congratulations to everybody. Now we got to talk about the reunion.
Why are you still so mad at me, MJ?
I'm not coming for you.
Okay.
It was he who was the chump, and that was the problem.
Well, you blocked me on Instagram, so clearly you're pissed.
Oh, not Instagram.
What happened? You blocked me
you
on Instagram.
You blocked her on Instagram? Oh, it's fucking serious now.
Both of you.
Game on.
You blocked both of them on Instagram?
From the second that I got off the thing. Why wouldn't I? I blocked you both immediately. Why wouldn't I? I'm just saying.
The reunion. So the first segment is the rest of the cast getting to watch what happened during the finale. Larsa says something pretty insightful, which is that the gamers play a very different game from everybody else on reality TV. Because like reality TV just want to be on TV. They just want to have fun. But everybody else, like the gamers want to win by any means necessary. John from the House of Commons really came in hot. Like, I know, girl, you probably didn't get picked for Celebrity Big Brother UK. So you're like, okay, this is going to be my last time on TV for a while. And so he was really pussy popping in a way that I'm like, oh, we don't really need to talk this much. Okay. He's adamant that like MJ needs to chill out. She has no right. Like she can be annoyed, but like she's no right to be upset with everybody for what happened in the game. So then they bring out the final four, right? Sandra, MJ, CT, and Trishelle. And the stark difference in, like, I would really just love to know what they told the cast to, like, the theme was. You know, like, Bravo always has a general theme, greens, you know, Scotland chic or whatever. But the stark contrast in CT and his outfit, which looks like he ran into Banana Republic and did, like, a supermarket sweep. Or just saw the mannequin and was like, just give me that in my size. And Trishelle, who looks like truly if The Handmaid's Tale had beauty pageants. That's what her outfit looked like. MJ comes out swinging, right? Calling Trishelle a manipulator. So Andy asks her, how do you feel watching that back? She goes, bamboozled. Grifter energy. Like, she's pissed. In the best way. Like, this is the energy that we want from a Bravo or NBC Universal style reunion. So Kate says that she feels like coming into the show halfway through was she like really didn't deserve to win. So Andy asks MJ, how did you feel realizing that you guys were going to have to vote again? And she's like, well, they all knew that we were all faithfuls. Like, she's so annoyed. So Trishelle says, well, I didn't know we were all traitors because I thought CT might be a traitor. And MJ says, well, you should have followed through with that then. To which Trishelle says, but then we were going to have to be at a stalemate for a second time. Like, so somebody had to change their vote. And then CT makes a mistake of complimenting MJ and being like, you actually played a great game. Brilliant, like a flawless game the entire time. And she goes, well, you should have followed through with keeping me then. And he goes, oh, well, I'm not going to fight with you. Like, it's all love here. And this is where I have to be like, okay, like, there's definitely a divide, like Larsa said, between the game players and the, like, the reality TV people, right? I get that. But for you to have all the money and then tell the person who you took the money from at the very last minute, like, I don't want to fight with you. Like, I don't, like, you don't understand why her, you don't understand where the bass in her voice is coming from. Like, that to me is, like, a little whack to me, right? It's just a little whack. We do hear from Deontay, the boxer, who says that he actually had, like, a really triggering childhood traumatic trigger that happened when he was there. And he was feeling like very isolated, and that's why he ended up leaving. But he says that in the long run, it ended up being the best thing for him because he was able to work through that trauma. And then he thanks God for Phaedra for like being there for him in a time of need. Andy asked Kate about, like, why did you come back to the... I honestly don't care. She was like, oh, I wanted a vacation for my baby. Okay, great. Peter and Exit Sue are fucking. Okay? We do ask Kevin from Blink Empire, how do you pronounce Parvati's name? And he goes, I called her Party for a long time. And Andy goes, yeah, then you said Poverty. And he goes, it is Poverty, though, right? No, Kevin. No, it's not. So after that, Andy talks to Peppermint about how she got banished first, and she does this great speech about like being a trans person and how she wished that she could have been the great representation for that, because most people don't know trans people in real life. They only see what they see on TV and represented in media. So she wanted to like be that positive example. And she brings up a fairly good point of the fact that, like, when she, as a super fan of the show, she kind of knows how it works, because in the very beginning, you really are just running off of no proof and just vibes, right? And so because of that, people just rely on the biases they have in the game. And in those situations, the people who are a little bit different, quote unquote, or who stick out, don't really end up faring well. So, yeah, I mean, I thought that was a great point. I wish that they had asked Trishelle more about that, but, like, what is Trishelle going to say that's really going to make sense, you know? Sometimes it's better to not let somebody have the mic, you know what I mean? So then, what happens after that? Oh, Phaedra. Phaedra says she was most excited to meet Max from Dancing with the Stars and Peter, because she's, like, a real Bachelor Nation girl. But then she's like, you know, I feel like Peter's so charismatic. He could honestly be a cult leader. It's like, yeah, you too, Phaedra. You too, girl. So Andy then asks Dan and Peter what it was like. Dan and Peter, how did it feel to be read for filth by Phaedra? And both of them are like, great. It was great. It was an honor. And Dan's like, oh, you know, it was very humbling because, I take big shots and they usually work out. The way this man is on a loop with, what was he on, Big Brother or Survivor? I don't care. The man is on a loop, and I think he needs to get off of it. In my gameplay, I really take big shots, and it usually works for me. This is, like, all he says the entire reunion. We know, girl. We know you flopped. That was an integral part of the show. And we understand that you take big shots, and that this time it did not work for you. Like, we got it, girl. We got it. Is there anything else that you can say? And the answer to that is no. Big shots didn't work on Phaedra. Bottom line. Then Andy asks Sandra and Parvati how they felt seeing each other in the castle for the first time, because they're both Survivor girls. And Sandra goes, I was not happy. I was not happy. And I thought, out of the 600 plus people that have come from Survivor, y'all could have picked anybody. Why did it have to be Parvati? And I'm like, wait, I'm going to have to go to YouTube and watch a supercut of why they don't like each other, because she really kept that same energy. And I want to know why. I'm not going to watch a whole season, but I will watch a good 5 minutes of it for sure. Andy then talks to Larsa and Marcus about what's going on in y'all's relationship. We noticed that you guys unfollowed each other, and what's going on? Marcus is a fucking loser. And if you guys have been watching the Real Housewives of Miami reunion, which you should be, because some of the greatest things that have ever happened in reality TV reunion history have happened. Like, why the hell was Julia singing an EDM version of Ave Maria? It was like a fever dream. But anyway, the larger point is that Marcus is a fucking loser, and him and Jody were sitting backstage at the Miami reunion, and he's like talking. Like, girl, do you want a mojito? Like, for all the shit that people talk about, Joey Gorga wanting to have a center tomato or center meatball or whatever they hold in New Jersey, Marcus wants it so much more. So much more. He is Slade. He is Gorga. He is, who else loves the camp? Peter. Patricia, all in one. And I don't like it. I do not want to see any more of it. And the fact that he said, like, those women wouldn't even be good enough to clean, to be housekeepers at his dad's house. Like, what the fuck?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Who says that? What's your status at the bank without your daddy? Quickly. That's so gross. That's such a disgusting thing to say. Ew. Ew. Especially given, like, a couple of them, most of them are immigrants to this country. Like, the layers to that was so vile. But the point is, fuck Marcus. Yeah, what was going on? Larsa lies and is like, oh, we're in a much better place. Like, he made all these, like, analogies about how they've been moving 100 miles an hour in their relationship. They hit a bit of a speed bump, but now they're moving along just fine. Okay. Did anybody care? No. Tamara says she was actually pissed off about Phaedra killing her. And I was like, oh, yeah, Tamara's on the show. So there's that. Phaedra says, in terms of her gameplay, it was just her really keeping around the people that she liked. Like Trishel, who she kind of regrets now. And also John. Dan, again.
You know, I took a big swing. I took a big swing when I had a Phaedra. Usually I take a big swing. And honestly, it's like,
it's hard to pay attention to him because he's also, in addition to that bubble throat that he has, he's wearing, like, for real, like, capri pants, basically. Like, I'm actually totally fine. I think it's a cute look when, you know, a guy's sitting down and he's got, like, a nice pant on and you show a little ankle, you know, 1850s style. I'm fine with that. I'm rocking with it. I wish I hadn't said I rocked with it. Clay has ruined that phrase for me. Clay from Love is Blind. I'm fine with that. But he was showing, like, a true capri length, and I just couldn't rock with that. I couldn't. It was a lot of skin. It was a lot of skin. Whatever. Big swing. Didn't work with Phaedra. Phaedra calls Dan a low-down son of a bitch. And for him to pull what he did at that round table, she just thought he was a piece of shit. And so Dan's like, well, I would like to respond. I just play these games, and it's just like a game for me. And then Big Brother, I was coming in hot, and I had it, and this time I didn't hit. And Andy's asking Dan, like, do you regret mentioning Phaedra at the roundtable?
No, I don't, because you see how hard it was to take her out. And, you know, I didn't see a path to win this game with Phaedra in it, because I was taking all those hits.
So then he says, you know, I was desperately afraid of being at the end with a couple of Bravo people. All Phaedra would have to do is wink at them. And it would be over for me, which is true. So Andy asks Phaedra, does Dan have a point? And she goes, no, he does not. He does not have a point. And then she says, when she watched it back, she's actually really pissed off because Dan's trying to act like, oh, he was trying to keep her. But he was very early on palling up with Parvati, being like, we need to get Phaedra out. And Andy says, Phaedra, what was your reaction to that? And Phaedra goes, piece of shit. So then she tells Dan, you did yourself dirty. Everybody tells Dan, actually, like, you really did yourself dirty in this gameplay. We all thought you were suspicious because we were all trying to talk to you about who you thought might be a traitor. And you would just be like, next day, I'll tell you tomorrow, like, passing it off and, like, not wanting to talk about it. You were too quiet. And so, yeah, Dan goes to talk about how, like, people took that game really personal. He's really surprised at how personal people took it. And Sandra tells him, Dan, I feel like your mistake was going after Bergie when you actually should have gone after other people. Like, that was the nail in the coffin for you.
So Andy asks Dan, why did you continue to go after Phaedra when everybody was so hot on Parvati Sen?
Well, you know, I usually work like 10 steps down the road, and kicking out Parvati would have only saved me a day. You know, I take big swings.
And so Andy is like, but all the fans are saying that was your big mistake, was going after Phaedra. And then,
yeah, I take big shots.
Again, like, again, we get the big shots, sir. If you don't have anything to say, just shrug, okay? Because I can't take this anymore. So then, Andy asks everybody, what was it about Phaedra that made her fly under the radar for so long? And Larsa goes, well, I just feel like she prayed a lot. Like, it's hard to go against Jesus. Oh, my God. Sandra's really cracking me up because as much as Dan is talking about all the big swings, Sandra is using every opportunity to be like, why didn't you guys recruit me as a traitor? Why wasn't it me? I would have been really good at it, you guys. And I really wanted it. She's so upset. Phaedra gets an entire segment dedicated to her being a bad bitch during the show, which she deserved, okay? CT and Trishel's journey gets a whole segment, and they're winning together, and at the end, everybody claps for them, but MJ goes, you could tell Alan didn't even enjoy that. You could tell. So then Andy asks everybody, out of the gamers, who do you think was the gamer's gamer to game? And they all say Trishel. So at one point, Trishel asks MJ, why are you still so mad at me? And MJ goes, I'm not coming for you. Actually, it was CT who was the chump. He was the problem. And Trishel says, well, you blocked me on Instagram, so clearly you're pissed off. And so Andy looks at MJ and goes, did you block both of them on Instagram? She goes, yeah, from the second I got off that thing. Why wouldn't I block them? Immediately. Why wouldn't I do that? I'm just saying. I gotta say, CT's reason about him just being confused at the very end, and that's why he kicked MJ out, was not great. Like, it wasn't great. And then he says that MJ played a flawless game. She could have possibly been the mastermind behind all the women, and her game was just a little too clean for him. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, basically, it just is like, you know, the loyalty between CT and Trishel and how that ended up screwing MJ over at the end. But I do want to say to end this that Melissa Beck, alumni from Real World, she said she does not know CT or Trishel, but she has done like early stages of the challenge. And she's also like a reality TV super fan, right? So, and also, she is number one and has been since season one on my list to go on The Traitors. So, NBC Universal, sign her up for season three. So she wrote on her Instagram story is something I thought, reading all the commentary and, you know, she's talking about how like Trishel and CT agreed to vote for Kate. And then CT smartly was like, let me vote Sandra so we can slim these numbers down. Knowing Kate and MJ were voting Sandra. Splitting money four ways when we don't have to is dumb. Clearly he didn't discuss this with Trishel. So she clearly is like, wait, you keep not doing the thing I think you're going to do. So what the fuck? Keep in mind, we're talking about Real World / challenge people. The money actually matters. Have y'all seen our contracts? The appearance fee is not enough. This is why you don't see the variety in casting from that universe. They just keep calling the ones and you never keep saying no because, sorry, you call the ones that never say no, right? So then she says, I will be an alternate who sits in sequestration for 3 weeks for five figures, though. I've offered that many times, but no, motherfuckers need the prize money so they can just be in the actual real world. A challenge veteran has a great chance of actually winning because they do missions and shit. You saw Trishel was not scared of vermin, mud, elements, water. I didn't see Nan Housewife fuck up a challenge like that. Challenge ladies are built different. Now, back to the money. Ain't nobody trying to do a regular job in Gen Pop as an upper-class, real-world person. Think, the prize money is their salary. CT genuinely looked hurt when Trishel flipped over the board and voted CT. But Trishel had no choice. She had to make sure this motherfucker didn't have her fucked up like he did saving John, like he did voting for Sandra when they agreed face-to-face 1,000% to vote for Kate. She says, International Women's Day. I know that's right, Trishel. And then she goes, CT proved his loyalty to Trishel, at which point she changed her vote to MJ. It's no hard feelings. It's just that 100K is better than 66,000K. Bravo Lebs are going to be okay about the wallet.
They're considered real celebrities in the outside world and have a different pool of opportunities. I've seen it with my own eyes. So all that said, shout out to the real world. They did that. And then she says, I don't really know any of these people. I'm just talking. But I think, like, as annoyed, because I think most of you listening to this are probably like me, you're not really huge Big Brother, Survivor, Challenge type people. Like, we're more Housewives Bravo heads. We're sticking to the luxury, okay? And so, as annoyed as I was for MJ, I do think that there are, like, fair points to be made. I still think that they did her dirty and grimy. However, she's right. Like, the opportunities that MJ have are, like, tenfold the opportunities that Trishelle would have. Trishelle needs to go on shows like this. And MJ kind of does, too. But MJ can still be in the world of Bravo. She can still get invited to BravoCon. She can still, you know, be on Jeff Lewis Live or whatever she's doing. Like, those are opportunities that CT, Trishelle, Parvati, Janelle, they're not going to get those. Dan, certainly not. And so this is like life or death. Every show that you get on could be the very last show that you get. This could be the very last time that you're awarded a six-figure check. You never know with MJ. Like, MJ could get the call from Andy tomorrow and be like, hey, girl, let's boot up Bravo Chat Room and we want you to be the host of it. Or, you know, like, we still see she can have a podcast that's very successful. Like, the brand is longer and stronger on Bravo than it would be on CBS. And that's just the truth. I still am with you, MJ, but I can understand a little bit more how cutthroat this is for them compared to the Bravo Levs. And I will say that. But you guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. We'll be back on Wednesday with Seeking Sister Wife. I'm telling y'all, if you don't watch the show, check it out. It's on TLC. It airs on Mondays at 9 o'clock. And then we'll be talking Vanderpump and Summer House. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.